Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. You made it. You found it. You are here. This is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help to focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. We're glad to have you back. So much interesting things going on. So many things. I'm sitting on my couch this past week, flipping through the channels. I come to CNN and there's a show entitled War in Space. Have you seen this show? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer as she was reading a magazine about various types of green beans and peas. Interesting. That's what she was doing. Now, this show, the War in Space, it's got me concerned. I'm wondering, is it possible that Barry Ho, President Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Ho, has he made some kind of deal with CNN? Has he contracted with them to release all of America's military and intelligence secrets on CNN before Barry exits the White House? Because some of the things I saw on this show were astonishing. In the descriptive nature of the descriptions of intelligence and space and satellites and just things that a guy like me shouldn't know, and certainly our enemies should not never know that these things happen. They shouldn't even have an inkling as to how these things are done. Tracking satellites, putting satellites into space that maybe can shoot other satellites. We've got a plan, and CNN puts it on the air. It's just unbelievable. It's the sapper, Barry Ho, throwing bombs as he rolls under the wire back out into the wilderness. The sapper made it under the wire. He's done his damage, and now he will go about and, I don't know, I think he'll do organizing. He's going to go back to community organizing, I think. Maybe he'll show up in North Dakota. I've got a report here from the Dakota Access. That there's a Freudian slip for you. The Dakota Access protest, where you've got Indians out there, they say they are, well, according to this article from the Washington Times, they say they're fighting to protect their water. I'm not sure how the pipeline exactly. I haven't been made clear on exactly how the pipeline may impact their water, but maybe it does. I don't know. The thing is, it's hard to take people seriously when you see some of the people being interviewed. They're completely vacuous leftist Bernie Sanders types. It's hard to take them seriously. And I might even be persuaded that they have some kind of beef. If indeed it's true, I mean, I've heard reports that treaties were changed with this tribe without their consent, that they won a lawsuit some years ago about the moving of the boundaries of their land. I mean, they might have a legitimate beef, but it's just hard to take them seriously when they're funded by George Soros. And you see all these hippie types. But that's what's got the Indians upset. They say that white people are colonizing the camps. Is that okay for them to say white people? Is that acceptable? I suppose it is. They say white people are colonizing the camps. Outside activists are coming in. They're trashing the camps, mooching donations, treating the demonstration like a Burning Man festival for hippies. And that's what I've seen on TV, which makes it hard to take the whole thing seriously. I was driving along the interstate last week as I was working, driving along, and I come up behind a Subaru with Dakota Access and a big slash through it. Pull up next, and it's the typical hippie chick with the silver ring with the two balls in her nose and the strange colored hair, driving the Subaru, of course. Making it very hard for me to take their concerns seriously. But the Indians are mad at the white the white man again. They're upset with the white eyes because they say that the hippies are digging pits. They're digging pits out there for their human waste is what they accuse the hippies. Yeah. I didn't know that hippies would dig a hole. I wouldn't think they would put in that much effort. And also that begs the question, what are the Indians doing with their human waste? I mean, I know they're at one with the land and all that, but I mean, they have some magical way of discarding their, well, maybe the Indians actually do know how to do it properly. And the stoned out hippies, they don't have a clue. Anyway, the protesters out there at the Dakota Access site insist that they will not be moved. They're going to stay as long as it takes, do whatever it takes to prevent big oil from laying a pipeline through this particular area of South Dakota. They say they will not be moved. Well, we shall see, because temperatures are set to go below zero in the area this week. And, maybe the hardcore Indians can stick. But that'll wash out the hippie types for sure. And at least it will freeze the human waste so that maybe the Indians can use their good common sense to discard of it properly via all natural means. However they do that, I'm not sure how that all works. But there you have it. A report from Barack Obama's future job site, the Dakota Access. Yeah, I don't think he'll be living in a teepee out in North Dakota anytime soon. He'll just be fundraising for the effort. He'll be working for George full-time in some official capacity. George Soros. Yeah, that's what I meant. He'll be working for George full-time in some official capacity. But let's move on, because investigators continue, as we go to air today, investigators continue searching for a motive behind the knife attack at The Ohio State University. Investigators are working hard to find the motive of attacker Abdul Razak Ali Artan. So right there at Abdul, I start to think, well, maybe it's not going to be too hard to figure out a motive here. Abdul Ali? Oh, there's a couple of clues right there. Authorities, according to CNN, are looking into whether the attack was terrorism. They say that in a Facebook post shortly before the rampage, the young Somali immigrant urged America to stop interfering with the Muslim Ummah, is what he said on Facebook. So I'm not sure what investigators are searching for, but I'm six sentences into a report about the attack, and I've figured out the motive. So it's not sure what's taking investigators so long, except for the fact that in this politically correct environment, you're not allowed to say that it was a Muslim terrorist, at least not until Donald Trump is sworn in. Then we'll be allowed to say that in an official capacity. Well, but before we move on from Ohio State, we do want to thank Ohio State Police Officer Alan Haruchko, who shot the killer dead, the attempted killer. I don't think this guy actually killed anyone. He hit someone with a car. He slashed some people with a knife. But then he ran into a good guy with a gun. And we want to thank Ohio State Police Officer Alan Haruchko, who shot the terrorist dead in his tracks. 1-1 for the good guys right there. We do appreciate that, Mr. Haruchko. Thank you for your service to the Ohio State University. Thank you very much. Now, let's move on to... Well, this is just a horrifying story. You've all seen it. The fire at the Oakland Ghost Ship, a broken-down warehouse, where apparently, the Daily Mail from London says that the warehouse was the host of an electronic music party. Yes, an electronic music party. So note to parents, if your daughter or your son comes to you at some point in the not-too-distant future and says they would like to attend an electronic music party or an electronic dance festival, go to the mirror, look into it, and admit to yourself that you have failed as a parent. Because that's what that means. Because these parties are not about electronic music, which is insufferable. It's about young people getting together and basically paying back George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Dwight Eisenhower for everything they did to preserve civilization by getting high and having sex. That's what the kiddos are doing in thanks to their forefathers. And this is awful. I mean, the 33 people as we go to air are confirmed dead. 20, as many as 20 still missing, unaccounted for. Just awful. I was watching a news report as the fire was being fought by, as the firemen were arriving, news crews were interviewing these children pouring out of this burning warehouse. And the interview I saw, the guy was so high that he was grinning and chuckling as he was talking about seeing people being burned alive. He was so high on drugs that he was grinning. I mean, if you've heard the line from the Bible that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, can you imagine going from a hallucinogenic sex party into the hands of the judge of all the universe and having to explain yourself? I mean, as horrible as it is for the parents and the friends and the family and the families of these victims, think about the victims themselves when they suddenly find themselves before the judge, chuckling and laughing about the fact. It's just awful. Just awful. So note to kids, young people, don't go to old warehouses, don't take hallucinogenic drugs, and don't participate in mass festivals of sexual immorality because you might get yourself killed. Now, but you don't have to be a young, secular, raving lunatic to get yourself killed in America these days. You could just be at home, alone. Like 95-year-old Al Lowline from Anoka, Minnesota. His family dropped him off on Thanksgiving night. Monday morning, a family member found his body inside the house. The place had been ransacked. This article from CBS in Minnesota goes on to talk to family and friends about how much they loved Al. He was 95 going on 75. What a great guy. Bottled his own maple syrup. Just a fantastic human being by all accounts. And he committed the crime of being home alone and being innocent in America. If you're innocent in America, you may be targeted for murder. This particular criminal was a 27-year-old thug with a long arrest record. The motive apparently was robbery. And this punk who murdered 95-year-old Al Lowline will not face the death penalty in the state of Minnesota because they don't do that there in Minnesota. They're nice in Minnesota. So, and let me just give you from the sheriff's department. The sheriff said this case is a nightmare for people who have loved ones living alone. He says, you've got to be vigilant. This is the sheriff. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to be prepared because you don't know when this is going to happen in your own backyard. So I don't want to live in a country where this could happen in your own backyard. This happens in an awful lot of backyards every day anymore. Innocent people being murdered. And this 27-year-old thug, do you think he feared for his life as he murdered and robbed this old man? Do you think he thought about the electric chair or lethal injection? He didn't think about it. There's no death penalty in the state of Minnesota. So the officials governing Minnesota, they have not ended the death penalty. They merely inflicted it on Al Lowline instead of this thug punk who already should have been executed for the myriad crimes he's already committed and been convicted of. So you can't get rid of the death penalty. You simply redirect it and multiply it upon innocent people. That's what happens. And then you end up with a sheriff telling innocent average citizens that they have to be vigilant. I think if you're an infantryman on patrol, you have to be vigilant. If you're a 95-year-old guy coming home from Thanksgiving dinner, I would hope that we have a nation where you don't have to be vigilant. You can relax and take it easy, Al. Everything's okay. But everything's not okay. We've got a justice system run by corrupt, foul heathens who can't inflict the death penalty on people who deserve it because the lawyers running the system are filled with so much guilt and blood that they'd feel like hypocrites if they punished anyone else justly. And because of that, an innocent man like Al has to die. You know, that reminds me, by the way, that in the hereafter, this 27-year-old punk who killed Al Lowline, Al's going to be coming at that punk at in the hereafter. Al will be able to execute vengeance and revenge upon this punk thug killer who took his life. And so there is something satisfying to pondering the fact that those who kill the innocent will be judged by the innocent, and justice will be done. So take some solace in that as we move on here into the domestic tranquility file. We go to Lawrence, Massachusetts, where Fox News reports that a New Hampshire mother, this is unbelievable, a New Hampshire mother allegedly overdosed and collapsed on the floor while shopping with her 2-year-old daughter at a Massachusetts dollar store. She overdosed in the store while shopping and collapsed on heroin or some opiate, probably pills. I think the pills are, I have friends in New England and they say that it's unbelievable. It's an epidemic, the abuse of opiates. So she, her name is Mandy McGowan. She's from Salem, New Hampshire. And after being collected and sobered up to some degree, Mandy, mom, was placed on probation and ordered to continue drug treatment. Mom was 67 days into a drug treatment program when she overdosed and collapsed at the dollar store. So she wasn't 67 days in, but she wasn't doing all that well, I don't think, with her treatment. I don't think it was taking. I don't think. Anyway, the child has been taken into state custody. One of the few cases where I totally support the child being taken into someone else's custody. Yes, we'll take the child. We'll never see her mom convulsing on the floor. You know, overdose. Just sad. This is just another example of, thank you, George Washington. Thank you, Abraham Lincoln. Thank you, President Eisenhower, for winning World War II. I'm gonna snort opiates in the dollar store. I can't understand what's going on with younger people. It's just sad. Well, I do understand what's going on. They're 2 and 3 generations removed from any godly instruction whatsoever. And so you end up, Mandy here. Anyway, we hope the 2-year-old is okay. We do send out a message that we will take the child. We would be happy to take the child, and we would do just fine with the child. The child would be welcome here at the McBurney compound. Now, all right, let's go to the Daily Mail in the United Kingdom. For another sad update on the state of domestic tranquility in America, a man named Glenn Ramey has been taken into custody by the Illinois State Police. He was taken into custody last Sunday. He's accused of killing Sabrina Stauffenberg. She was snatched from her front porch as she waited for a bus to take her to a church activity. She was snatched off her front porch by this pervert. He was charged with predatory sexual assault of a child and murder. According to the family, the pervert killer was dating a relative of the child. Her stepmother says that the killer was a friend of her father, who is nowhere to be found. I'm going through to see who's quoted in the article. The father of the young girl who was murdered is nowhere to be found. But the girl's stepmother says that the pervert was... It's just awful. That's just terrible. We've got to continue in the domestic tranquility file. The state of domestic tranquility, by the way, that's one of the responsibilities that our founders laid out in the Declaration of Independence, was that the government would be responsible to preserve domestic tranquility. Well, Knox News is reporting that Joel Michael Guy Jr., drove from Baton Rouge to join his parents and his three adult sisters at a Thanksgiving dinner in West Knox County, Louisiana, at a home that his parents had just sold. So they get together for Thanksgiving, and then sometime between Friday night and midday Saturday, the 28-year-old son, Joel Michael Guy, attacked his parents with a knife, possibly tortured them, then dismembered their bodies and tried to dissolve their bodies in acid after Thanksgiving dinner. He's been charged with two counts of first-degree murder. And it's reported by family members that the parents had planned to discuss discontinuing financial support for the 28-year-old unemployed son, Joel Michael Guy. So they were going to discontinue supporting him financially. So he hacked them to pieces and attempted to dissolve their body parts in acid in Louisiana. And then we go to the New York Post, reporting on a story from Texas. This again from the domestic tranquility file. 18-year-old Brandy Vela killed herself in front of her family at their Texas home after what relatives say were months of relentless torment on social media. Brandy Vela was an 18-year-old senior in high school. She sends an email to her family last Tuesday, telling them she's about to kill herself. Horrifying. The family, of course, drops everything and hurries back to their Texas City house. And they find their daughter in the house alive with a gun pressed to her chest. They tried to talk her out of killing herself. They were unsuccessful. She shot herself. Both Brandy's parents and grandparents were at the home watching when she fatally shot herself. The girl, according to the family, had been bullied for years about her weight. Do you think she was bullied on social media exclusively, or do you think she was bullied at the public school factory where her parents dropped her off dutifully every morning? This should be reason number 1071 to keep or get your kids out of the government schools as well. Bunch of savage, maniac children. Evil little heathens. Taught that they evolved from slime, they start making fun of this girl over her weight. And apparently back in April, other students from her public school began creating fake accounts on social media with this girl's name and face. And I don't even know if I want to say what they did. It's so awful. They basically implied that she was some kind of prostitute by setting up a fake Facebook account with her face and her name soliciting for sex. And the girl ends up killing herself in front of her family. It's just awful. Just awful. Let me collect myself for just a second, because that. Anyway, police are investigating this as a cyberbullying crime. But I am concluding that this is a direct result of a godless education system producing children that are vicious, just vicious, and without any natural affection, without any empathy for their fellow evolutionary accidents that they go to school with every day, the other animals. Just no compassion whatsoever, to the point where a child would kill herself in front of her family. I can't even comprehend. I can't even comprehend. Anyway, let's go to the Queering of America file. Where Breitbart is reporting on a big controversy surrounding Chip and Joanna Gaines. They are they have the show on HGTV called Fixer Upper. Have you seen the show? It's a cool show. I like it. The guy's a little goofy sometimes. He's a little annoying. Their taste in furniture, it's not my taste. Their taste in decorations with the big letters on everywhere, I'm just not into that. But I like the show because it's entertaining. And it's wholesome. There's nothing vulgar or nothing in your face about it. It's just fun. And at the end, every show has a happy ending. And it's a very successful show because of that. But there's a big, big controversy because Chip and Joanna Gaines refused to answer a question from a reporter from BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed? Is that? I think that's one of those fake news sites that we've been hearing about. Anyway, this reporter at BuzzFeed is one Kate Arthur. She says that the Gaines will not answer whether or not they're for or against gay marriage. Who's not wearing the ribbon? Who's not wearing the ribbon? So they won't answer the question, and the reporter starts doing some research on the Gaines' church, because it becomes obvious they go to church, right, if you watch the show. And the reporter Kate Arthur asks, so, are the Gaineses against same-sex marriage? And would they ever feature a same-sex couple on the show? As have HGTV's House Hunter and Property Brothers. HGTV, by the way, stands for Homo and Gay TV. We used to watch House Hunters. We don't watch it anymore. We used to watch Property Brothers, but we don't watch it anymore. Because at some point you turned it on and there's a couple of perverts walking through the house and everyone's supposed to act like it's completely normal. Yeah, we're all expected to treat a couple of perverts acting like they're married, defiling one another, in open rebellion against every convention that keeps this place civilized, and we're all supposed to sit there and enjoy it and celebrate it and watch it and buy the products of the advertisers on Homo and Gay TV. Well, we don't watch that crap anymore. We have watched Chip and Joanna Gaines upon occasion. We watch them. We like the show. Anyway, this Harridan reporter over at BuzzFeed reports that there, listen to what the Gaines pastor actually is reported to have said from the pulpit in his church on the day the Supreme Court allegedly, on the day the Supreme Court issued their opinion on homosexual marriage. On that very day, the Gaines pastor said this. He says, this is a clear biblical admonition. He said, if someone were to say marriage is defined in a different way, let me just say they are wrong. God defined marriage, not you and I. God defined male and female, not you and I, unquote. So that is a Christian pastor in a Christian church on the day the Supreme Court issues an opinion that homosexual marriage should be legal. And this is what every Christian pastor in America should have been saying on that day. As a matter of fact, at our church, Denver Bible Church, there was a very similar sermon given. Very similar. But the reporter at BuzzFeed is shocked and outraged that anyone would be allowed to ever say anything like this. And so she says the Gaineses obviously attend a church that believes in traditional marriage, as if that's a crime now. It's not traditional marriage, by the way. Weren't you listening to the sermon, you ignorant heathen? He said it's God's definition of marriage. This is God-ordained marriage. It's not traditional. You know what's traditional? Adultery and fornication. That's what's traditional. It's God who set up marriage. Anyway, the BuzzFeed editor-in-chief says the Gaines should answer the question. Answer it. Are you for it or against it? Answer it. Damn it. Who's now wearing the ribbon? So, and here's the thing. Now that it's come up in this public way and there's something of a controversy around it, I think it's the obligation of the Gaineses to answer the question at this point. I don't think anybody should be interrogated about their personal religious views. But once it's out there in the public and now it's a question, now the Gaines are at a point in their life where they have to either stand with God and risk losing their television show, or they can acquiesce and they can surrender to the cultural pressure to accept something that is sinful and abomination and celebrate it. And so it's unfortunate that the Gaines find themselves in this situation, but it is to be expected in this modern era of mass delusion. And I think that the Gaines now owe it to themselves. They owe it to God. They owe it to the public. And they owe it to the pile of perverts at Homo and Gay TV to go ahead and answer the question. Out this woman the other day. She was asking about how are the kids, how's life, how's everything. And kids are doing great. What grade are they in? Where do they go to school? So the subject of homeschooling comes up. Well, why do you homeschool? And I said, well, there's a couple things. Number one, we're Christian. And number two, the school systems, they're infiltrated by sex perverts who want to molest children. And she was aghast because her kid goes to public school. And that's I said it just for that effect, just so that she could be shocked. And she said, well, how do you know that? I said, well, do you read the newspaper? Do you watch the news? And she said, no, I don't. I don't. I said, well, you might want to look into it because not only are the school systems are completely godless, number one, but they're infiltrated with sex perverts who want to molest children. Anyway, she was pretty shocked. Let's go. I do read the news upon occasion. In fact, I was watching 9 News here in the Denver metropolitan area this past week, where I learned about the superintendent of the Lincoln County, Colorado, Carville School District, who has been arrested for sexual assault on a child. There's no details yet on seven counts is all we know. Seven counts of sex assault on a child by a person in a position of trust dash pattern. So we've got so many crimes, so many names for so many crimes. We've parsed things into so, it's gotten so ridiculous. He should be charged with molestation of a child. And if he's convicted, he should be executed. There shouldn't have to be, oh, it's by a person in a position of trust, and there was a pattern. Let's see. Sex assault on a child, that could give him about 5 years, but it was a person in a position of trust, that could get him 15 years and 7 months. And because there was a pattern, that could add another 4 years and 3 months to the sentence. And now let's start negotiating. Right? Let's make a deal. He should be charged with molesting a child. If he's convicted, he should be executed. It's just that simple. But instead, the superintendent of schools has been released on bail. He's out of jail. He posted a $100,000 bond, and he's not even in jail. A child molester. Unbelievable. That's reason number 1,075. To get or keep your children out of the government schools, the superintendent might rape them. How's that for blunt, in your face? Shocking. Indeed, it is. And indeed, it should be. We should all be so shocked by this that there should have been parents lined up outside the jail with pitchforks and torches demanding the man be hung. They should have had to fight back the crowd just so they could give this guy a fair trial. And the trial should have happened that night. And if he was convicted, the hanging should have happened that night. Child molester out on bail. What have we come to? Who was it who decided we had to tolerate this? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, and I'm really angry, and I'm fed up with it. I don't think we should have to tolerate this. And whoever made the deal that we have to, I want to find out, where did that happen, and how can we undo that? All right. Nick Cannon. Does that ring a bell, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. He's apparently famous. Nick Cannon is a famous, let's see, what does he do here? He was in a recent interview on a radio show. What does this guy do? He's a, well, I'm sorry. He's not that famous. Apparently, I never heard of him. Nick Cannon is famous for something. He's some kind of entertainer. He was on the radio this past week where he called Planned Parenthood. This is what he said about Planned Parenthood. That's real genocide against black Americans. That's what this entertainer said. He was making his way through LAX on Friday, and he was asked by a TMZ pervert cameraman if he stood by his statement against Planned Parenthood. And he said, yeah, it's population control. It's modern-day eugenics, is what Nick Cannon said about Planned Parenthood. He said, quote, that type of stuff, Planned Parenthood, is to take our community and forget gentrification. It's real genocide, and it's been like that for years. He added, this system is not built for us, he said, talking about black folks. And, well, it actually was built for them. If you go and look at the history of Margaret Sanger and the founding of Planned Parenthood, that system was actually built for colored folks. And Mr. Cannon is absolutely right about it. Let's see. He had a music video in 2005, Can I Live, told the story of how he was almost aborted before his mother changed her mind. I wonder why I never heard of this guy. Let's see. Then the Daily Mail, which is where I got this story. The Daily Mail goes on to offer their obligatory defense of Planned Parenthood, as every story must. If ever there's a negative story about Planned Parenthood, you will find almost this exact paragraph in the article. It will say this. Of course, Planned Parenthood offers a number of resources and services in addition to abortion, such as men and women's health care, STD testing, treatment, and vaccines, HIV testing, pregnancy testing services, and birth control. That's in every article about Planned Parenthood. They're selling baby parts for a Lamborghini on film, And the reporter has to dutifully say that, by the way, Planned Parenthood offers many other services besides just aborting children, chopping up their bodies, and selling them. They do men and women's health care. And then you say, well, what is that? Excuse me? I asked, what is men and women's health care? Well, that's one of the services that Planned Parenthood provides. Okay, could you elaborate on exactly what that means? What is men and women's health care? Well, they also do STD testing. Okay, so they give VD tests. I'll give you that one. They also treat STDs. Okay. And they give vaccinations for STDs, especially to teenage girls without their parents' consent. Pregnancy testing. Oh, they do pregnancy testing, you say. Well, isn't that because they want to make sure that the woman, in fact, they're obligated legally to make sure the woman is pregnant before killing the baby? Well, I haven't looked that deeply into it, says the reporter, but I do know they do pregnancy testing. Okay, and they do it right before the abortion is what, just to be clear, Mr. Reporter. Oh, and finally, they do birth control. How about that one? Oh, yeah, birth control. That's called abortion, where they kill the baby. Or it's the abortion pills that they give to teenage girls without the consent of their parents. The abortion pill now counts as birth. So anyway, so I've deconstructed that paragraph a little bit. You will find that in every article about Planned Parenthood ever written. All right, now back to Nick Cannon. Let's see. What else do we have on here? Oh, well, now they talk about Mike Pence says he's going to defund Planned Parenthood. Ha! Yeah, right. Let's see. So the Trump administration is going to overturn Roe versus Wade to ban abortion. Oh, this is the Daily Mail's opinion of what's going to happen. So as soon as Mike Pence came out, now listen to this. This is the foolishness of this defund Planned Parenthood strategy. It's ridiculous. Mike Pence issues a statement that he's going to work with Congress to stop giving federal funds to the child-killing organization called Planned Parenthood, euphemistically called Planned Parenthood. Well, since Mike Pence said that, a social media campaign has resulted in more than 50,000 donations made to Planned Parenthood in Mike Pence's name. So here's the thing. If Congress defunds Planned Parenthood, Bill Gates will just step up and fund them. Or George Soros will fund them. Or there's any 10,000 millionaires who are wicked, they would fund Planned Parenthood. So don't fall for that. You're going to donate to a campaign for the next 10 years. We're going to work to defund Planned Parenthood. And the next day, they're going to get all that funding and more so from evil rich people. So what's the point of all that? Well, there is no point. The point is that this fellow, what's his name here? Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon was a person before he was born. His mother realized that, and that's why she didn't kill him. And that's what we need to teach the people. And that's what the law of our nation needs to teach the people. Not that we shouldn't give federal money to people who kill babies, but that we shouldn't kill babies. That needs to be the goal. But instead, well, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, yeah, right. They're so full of baloney. Nick Cannon is some kind of rap artist, a hip-hop artist. That's why we never heard of him. Let's see. He's expecting a child with his ex, okay, Brittany Bell, and he shares 5-year-old twins with Mariah Carey, another ex. And this isn't the first time he stood against abortion. Well, this just proves my axiom. You can be a pretty big dirtbag and still be against killing babies. Oh, they've got some of the lyrics for some of his rap music. Oh, okay. Yeah. So again, if you read any of the lyrics from Mr. Cannon in some of his hit songs, you'll realize that you can be a pretty immoral degenerate, but still draw the line at killing babies. It doesn't make you a morally superior person. It merely is the basic requirement for entry into the civilized family of man.
It's Doug McBurney here at the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, joined in studio as always by my audio engineer. And we've got one more. As Fidel Castro's cremated remains tooled across Cuba, of course, the car it was in broke down en route because it's Cuba. Everything's 60 years old. But they did finally get the heathen bastard across the island to his hometown and spread his ashes somewhere, and they're not telling anyone where, which is fine by me. He should go into ignominy. I don't know. His name should be blotted out from human history for all time, in my opinion. Not just my opinion. It's just a statement of fact. There. Yes, I am willing to state things and declare that they are facts. I'm one of the few people willing to do that anymore, which is why you tune in here, to hear someone who's at least willing to stand up and say, this is the way it is, this is reality, and if you don't like it, suck it up, because it's real. And Fidel Castro was a murderous psychopath, thief, a liar, and a murderer, whose name should be blotted out of all history for all of time. Everything he ever did should be forgotten by future generations. Case in point, we go to the personhood file. As we were just in the personhood file with this degenerate rapper, Nick Cannon, who, as degenerate as he is, he draws the line at killing babies, but not Fidel Castro. In fact, I've got a story here from the New York Times about a crisis that's being predicted in Cuba, yet another demographic crisis that is produced by the combination of sexual immorality, socialism, and a corrupt justice system. Experts are predicting that 50 years from now, Cuba's population will have fallen by a third. More than 40% of the country will be over 60 years old. It's a demographic crisis. It's yet another one. We've talked about these. They're brewing in Japan and Italy and Spain. These demographic crises and China, they're happening everywhere because of unrestrained sexual immorality and socialism. And abortion is all a part of that, by the way. Killing children. In Cuba, Fidel made abortion legal, free, and commonly practiced. There's no stigma attached to the procedure. Cuba's reported abortion rates are among the highest in the world. Abortion is viewed as just another manner of birth control and has been since the glorious revolution of Fidel. The New York Times calls it a legacy of the revolution, which prioritized women's rights. And so what is the priority of women's rights? Well, now lines at abortion clinics often wrap around the building in Cuba on a daily basis. It's as common as an appendectomy. More common, I'm sure, than an appendectomy. It's as common as getting your wisdom teeth out in Cuba to have an abortion. They give the abortion rates. They say only Russia had a higher rate of abortion in 2011. Last year they had figures, complete figures. Yeah, Russia, they slaughter them by the tens of millions. It's just awful. So the socialist revolution prioritized women's rights. And so all these women and in Cuba, mothers and fathers, they killed their posterity in the name of freedom. And now they will end up slaves in their own age, in their old age. Because the social infrastructure that the communists promised, it's not going to be there because they killed all the children. And that they robbed all the parents and murdered all the children. And that does not end well. I don't think it takes 50 years from now before something changes dramatically in Cuba. Things are going to change dramatically because something like what is happening in Venezuela is bound to happen in Cuba. Our government should be working hard to make sure that the government of Cuba is undermined in every way. And that decent, honorable human beings are raised up and funded so that they can fight and overthrow the communists in Cuba. Do you think Barry Ho is funding an effort to restore freedom in Cuba? No, he's not. In fact, Barry Ho is donating money to the International Planned Parenthood. What's it called? The Planned Parenthood International Fund, so that they can kill more babies in Cuba. That's what our president is doing. Do you think Donald Trump is going to do something? Do you think Donald Trump is going to do something to try to restore freedom to Cuba and to stop the butchering of a generation? Well, don't hold your breath. That's just my prediction. Now, Venezuela. I just mentioned Venezuela. I've got a story here from medicalexpress.com reporting on Venezuelan hospitals. The reporter said he saw open rubbish bins, flies in the corridors, and rotting corpses stacked in the morgue at a public hospital in the Coche district of Caracas, Venezuela. He says, this is the human face of Venezuela's economic and political crisis. He says there are just 18 doctors for a community of 150,000 people, and medics warn that harmful bacteria is growing more and more resistant to the few antibiotics that are available in Venezuela. They tell the story of one guy in here. He's terrified that they're going to cut his leg off. He's got an injury to his leg. They can't stop the infections. He says, I don't want to go up to the operating theater anymore. Every time I do, I come back feeling worse. I'm afraid they're going to cut off my leg. Hospitals in Venezuela are overcrowded, desperately undersupplied. They talk about the stench of rotting flesh in the hospital. Wow. And then the reporters here at medicalexpress.com, they dutifully report that Venezuela's economy has crashed in line with the price of crude oil. Refusing to admit that it's not the price of crude oil that has destroyed Venezuela. It's the socialist utopians, communists, murderers, and thieves who've destroyed Cuba. And let's see, the socialist government, though, says it has invested $250 billion in healthcare over the past 13 years, particularly in poor areas. And let's see, Nicolas Maduro, he blames the economic management for the chaos. He denies any corruption. He denies any incompetence. He says it's just a matter of economic mismanagement. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's being blamed for economic mismanagement. Well, yeah, I guess robbing everyone and killing all your opponents, I guess that could qualify as economic mismanagement. Yes, yes, indeed. So we shall see what happens in Cuba. And we are seeing what's happening in Venezuela. In China, the Pope is set to make a deal with the red Chinese communists. They're talking about making a deal. The Pope's been warned by Cardinal Joseph Zen, 84-year-old former bishop of Hong Kong. He says maybe the Pope is a little naive. He doesn't have the background to know the communists in China. The Pope used to know the persecuted communists in Latin America, but he may not know the communist persecutors who have killed hundreds of thousands in China. And Cardinal Zen says the Pope should not make a deal with the Red Chinese. He says to do so would be betraying Jesus Christ, says the cardinal to the Pope. Now, what bothers me is this guy is the former bishop of Hong Kong. How come people don't stand up while they are in authority and say things like this? I don't understand that. I know it's because he's worried he's going to lose his retirement. The Chinese may arrest him and kill him. So he waits until he's out of office and comfortably away from power where he could be arrested. Then he says something like this. Why didn't you say this while you were the bishop? But I'm glad he's saying it now. Let's see here. He says the blood of the martyrs is the seed of new Christians. If that blood is poisoned, meaning making a deal so that the Catholic Church can come out of the closet in China by basically going into cahoots with the Chinese, red Chinese government. He says if that blood is poisoned, how long will those new Christians last? So he says the Pope should not make a deal with the Reds. It would be betraying Jesus Christ. Well, better late than never, I guess, Cardinal Zen. That's from the bad Pope file. The fact that the Pope is even thinking about that makes him a bad pope. And we already knew he's a bad pope because he's a communist. Yeah, the pope's a communist. All right. Yeah, freak out about it. From the economics file, ladies and gentlemen, we have a report this week from OPEC that American drillers and frackers have won the oil price war. Just as I predicted on this show that we could outlast the Arabs and that we could produce oil more cheaply for longer than they could, we've done it. OPEC has agreed to cut supplies for the first time since the global financial crisis of 2008, sending oil prices soaring above $50 a barrel, according to the Financial Times. Soaring above, I don't know if from 46 to 50 is soaring. Okay. But oil is above $50 a barrel because the Arabs have surrendered to the roughnecks and the rednecks of West Texas and South Dakota. We have beaten them. OPEC has agreed to cut 1.2 million barrels a day of production in order to get the price of oil up. But it's hard to say what's going to happen since everyone involved in the negotiations of the OPEC deal are known liars. They're all liars. So the Russians are liars. The Saudi Arabians are lying. The Iranians are lying. They'll stab each other in the back. They'll ship barrels of oil out the back door. So nobody knows exactly how this will all shake out as far as the price of oil. I'll give you another prediction. There will be a temporary slight increase in the price of oil, followed by several years of stable or steadily falling oil prices until the next political crisis occurs, which I can't predict that. But the next crisis will drive the price of oil back up. But because we drilled and drilled and drilled on what's left of the private lands in the United States, we have defeated the evil, wicked, lying thieves of OPEC and Russia in the oil war. And I just want to send my congratulations to all the roughnecks and roustabouts and wildcatters out there who all made it happen, because you all made me look good because my prediction came true. And I always appreciate it when that happens. All right, finally, from the Brave New World file, a former top New York Police Department official has told the New York Post that city officials in New York have been intentionally increasing traffic. They've ground Midtown to a halt with the hidden purpose of making drivers so miserable that they turn to mass transit or bicycles. Yes, this was an effort, according to a former top NYPD official. He says it was an effort by the Bloomberg and de Blasio administrations over more than a decade to make people so miserable that they'll ride the bus or get on their bike and get their cars out of Manhattan. It's the socialist dream to force people out of their cars and into the buses. And I've just got one question for this former top NYPD official. Why didn't you say anything about it when you were in power? Was your retirement package that attractive that you could watch people being tortured in their cars every day, day after day, and you had to shut up until you got your retirement check? This is why people who work for the government, I know some of them are decent, honest, hardworking, good people, but not this guy. What a jerk letting people sit in their cars. How come you don't speak out when you have the authority to do something about it, people? All right, that's it. That's the show. Thank you very much for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at KGOV. By the way, I have more stories. I have some stuff on Stephen Hawking. I have some more stuff on the Pope. I'll be doing that on terrestrial radio, AM 670 here in Denver tomorrow afternoon as I co-host Bob Enyart Live. You can tune in and catch me there if you'd like. If you're in Denver, you can find the podcast on the internet. And you can find it at KGOV.com, and I thank all my friends there, and at American Right to Life, of course. And as always, my other brother, Darrow, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.